Our scripture lesson this morning is the fifth chapter of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. I will read aloud from the New English Bible. 1 John 5, beginning in verse 6. This is he who came with water and blood, Jesus Christ. He came not by water alone, but by water and blood. And there is the Spirit to bear witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are in agreement. We accept the water, we accept human testimony, but surely divine testimony is stronger. And this threefold testimony is indeed that of God Himself, the witness He has borne to His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his own heart, but he who disbelieves God makes him out to be a liar by refusing to accept God's own witness to his Son. The witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and that this life is found in his Son. He who possesses the Son has life indeed. He who does not possess the Son of God has not that life. This letter is to assure you that you have eternal life. It is addressed to those who give their allegiance to the Son of God. We can approach God with confidence for this reason. If we make requests which accord with His will, He listens to us. And if we know that our requests are heard, we know also that the things we ask for are ours. If a man sees his brother committing a sin which is not a deadly sin, he should pray to God for him, and he will grant him life. That is, when men are not guilty of deadly sin. There is such a thing as a deadly sin, and I do not suggest that he should pray about that. But although all wrongdoing is sin, not all sin is deadly sin. We know that no child of God is a sinner. It is the Son of God who keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot touch him. We know that we are of God's family, while the whole godless world lies in the power of the evil one. We know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding to know Him who is real. Indeed, we are in Him who is real, since we are in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. This is eternal life. Shall we pray? Our Father, I thank You for the joy of Jesus Christ, alive and resident within lives today, making us to be unbelievably more than we ever dreamed we could be. Father, as we examine the depth of our Christian experience and realize that the exciting things that have happened to us are because of Your life within us and not because of our own ability or our own qualities, we realize that if You could do it for us, You could do it for anybody in this world. I thank You, Lord, that You're able to take the raw material of our own human problem and our own humanity and create Your Son within us and give us a whole new way of living. I pray the one who speaks to us this week will be given an unction from Your Holy Spirit to speak so clearly to the personal needs in each of our hearts that we will go away from these meetings in a spirit of yieldedness and surrender, which would make it possible for Jesus to be shaped even more thoroughly and completely within us. I pray for friends in our fellowship who are still struggling with that simple commitment of their life to You. And I ask that this morning might be a turning point. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.
Well, it's great to be here on this beginning Sunday of the week. I don't know the attitude with which you've come this morning. I don't know what your first thoughts were this morning when you were awakened. But I have a sneaking suspicion that there might be some who had anything but positive thoughts. There might have been some that would say, I suppose I should go to church, even though it's not Easter. And I suppose there might be some parents that said to your children, I suppose you should go, and you will enjoy it. And perhaps you responded quietly, just between yourself and you, I'll go, but I won't enjoy it. Reminds me of the little boy who had been reprimanded by his mother and said, was given instructions to go into the corner and sit down. He went to the corner, but he didn't sit down. He stood. And she said, sit down. And he said, no. So she bodily sat him down in the corner. He said, there, now you're sitting down. He said, that's all right, but I'm standing up on the inside. I don't know what your attitude is this morning. I don't know what it was this morning when you got up. I don't know what it'll be tomorrow, nor what it was yesterday. But I trust that these will be days of discovery for all of us. Of discovery that Jesus Christ is more than a person who lived and died on a cross and who came out of the grave triumphantly some 2,000 years ago, but someone who can relate to life now. A Jesus Christ that's alive. I know that more people know that theologically. They know it intellectually. But realistically is another thing. Of the simplicity of how to relate a living, risen Christ to your situation, to my situation in everyday life. And this is basically what we want to talk about all week long. The various subjects are given there. And really, every one of those subjects are interrelated. There's not any way, really, that you can separate and catalog and categorize. What we're going to be talking about this week is simply a relationship with Jesus Christ, how it's established, and what happens after it's established, how it functions, how it works. Some of you will have new husbands by the time a week's out. Don't punch him. Some of you will have new wives. It'll be the same body. He'll look the same externally as far as the features are concerned, but he'll be a different man. And some of them need to be different. Husbands go home with more sore ribs after a time like this. So do wives sometimes. What I'm saying is that every one of us here this morning, there's not a one of us that couldn't honestly say that I am perfectly, absolutely, totally satisfied and content because I know God is perfectly and totally satisfied and content with me. There need to be some changes made in your life. There need to be some inclusions. There need to be some exclusions. I'm not here to tell you what those inclusions or exclusions should be in terms of external do's and don'ts. What I've come to do really the week is simply to share with you the person of Jesus Christ, what he came to do and be in your life, and that relationship as it's established with him, that you can establish a very unique and personal rapport with him, and he can begin to tell you what he would like to exclude or what he would like to include. And it's the most exciting thing in the world to all of a sudden discover that you have a personal rapport with God. And that he is sharing with you his life on a moment-by-moment basis. To think that we're actually in communication with God. I know God. Do you know him? I have personally met Jesus Christ. Have you met him? People who get so excited, I met the president. Big deal. He's not going to be president forever. I hope. Some would say that. I wouldn't know it's necessary. You know, they don't want to get into that. But nobody's perfect, let's face it. So no, he's going to fade away and there'll be another one come on that's probably worse than he is or better. I don't. And people get... you know, name droppers. I know the president. Is that right? You met him. Well, big deal. People go along and they sort of whisper, I know Jesus. Like they're, you know, I'm really, really ashamed of it, and I'm really sort of embarrassed, but I know Christ, and He's the one who put this whole world into operation. Do you know anybody that's more important than that? I don't know anybody, and I've met a lot of people in my day, but I don't know anybody quite as important as that. I'm a name dropper. I know Jesus. Do you know Him? Matter of fact, I had a chat with Him this morning. As a matter of fact, I had a chat with Him just before I stood up. He's terrific. But you see, most praying, what I call chatting with the Lord, most praying is so stereotyped and so crank-out type that, well, we rattle off our little prayer and say, well, I got through it. And I hope He was listening. No, Jesus Christ came to be personal. Personal to you. Just as personal as your wife, just as personal as your husband, just as personal as your children. Personal. Personal. Man to man, one on one, eyeball to eyeball, if you please. And unfortunately, Jesus Christ has been lifted to a very ethereal, mystical realm of life. He is, if you please, number one on the untouchable list. But He isn't. He's very real and very personal. Many people in the Scripture discovered this. Of course, they discovered it on the physical level. And I like to look at different passages of the Word of God that just relate to me, Jesus Christ. Because I realize that the same Jesus of this New Testament is the same Jesus that wants to be personal in my life today. And if I can discover something of His relationship with people then, I can discover something of His relationship with me now. As I travel around the country, one of the most tragic things that I find in the lives of people is the incredible sense of guilt. A sense of unworthiness, a sense that life is over, the sense that life is through. A sense that you've lived a little bit and you've come to the conclusion that you've made such a mess of it that it's really all over but just the shouting. It's just all over but the mourning. It's all over but the funeral. It's all over but the caskets. It's all over but the burial. It's all over. I want to say something this morning. I don't care who you are, what your name is, what you've done in the past. It's not over. By virtue of the fact that you're here this morning, it's just the beginning. As a matter of fact, I think I would be safe in saying that I don't care who you are, what your name is, every one of us here, by virtue of the fact that we're here this morning and by virtue of the fact of who He, Jesus Christ, happens to be, this is just the beginning. You say, well, you don't know me and you don't understand my situation. You don't understand what I've been involved in. You know what? I do. I do know what you've been involved in. See, that preacher. I do know what you've been involved in this past week, this past month, this past year. Do you know that? I know. Yes, I do. And I dare say I could write your history right out in black and white. Would you like me to try? Of course you wouldn't. Do you know why? Because as I write the story of your life, I would be writing the story of my life. Do you know how I know so much about you? Preacher didn't tell me. The Bible told me. He's got it all written out there, black and white, just a bold-faced print. And I just happened to sit down and read it. But isn't it exciting to realize that no matter what your name is, no matter what you've done in the past, no matter what your history is, He still loves you. Today is the new beginning. There's a person in the Scripture who I believe was one of the most defeated, frustrated individuals that ever lived. She'd been married 6 times. Yes, she had. She'd gone through five husbands and was in the process of going through the sixth one. Now, I don't know if that's not really a record. Tommy Mansville can tell us that. But that's not really a record. But six is, you know, that's quite a few. And one particular morning, she started out from the house on her way to the local well. And we know the story from the 4th of John, a very familiar passage, but here she is. Just think of her and just, let's don't divest her of humanization. Let's don't divorce her from being human because she's very human. But here she is on that particular day, making her way out of her home, going towards the local city well, just to get some water for her own family needs that particular day. And can you just imagine this woman walking along with her water buckets? Earthen pots, no doubt they were. And as she was walking along towards the well, how do you suppose she walked? Here's a woman, as I say, she'd gone through five husbands. She's on the sixth now. Do you reckon she had any problems? She'd had six of them. Just to be quite specific, and the Lord only knows how many other problems involved from those six. And I'll guarantee you that she didn't go to the well like Jack and Jill went skipping up the hill. I'll guarantee you, as she went to the well that morning, she went with a heavy heart. I'll guarantee you, she went with a heavy soul. I dare say I can identify with that woman. With the heaviness of heart, with the heaviness of soul, I dare say you can identify with her. But as she walks towards the well, let's just get in step with her for a moment, shall we? As she perhaps just shuffled along towards the well, we fall in step with her and say, good morning. What's good about it? Well, it's sunshiny. True. Would you mind, ma'am, if I'd ask you a personal question? No, I don't suppose. Is your life exciting? What was that? Is your life full of dynamic excitement? You call water buckets exciting? You got to be kidding. These are heavy. Of course, it's not exciting. Do you find life just overflowing, just full of... What are you, some sort of nut? But you remember that's what Jesus talked about. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it superabundantly. Out of your innermost being shall flow what? Rivers of living water. That's what he came to do. That's what he came to impart into life. That's what he came to produce in life. Now, as a matter of fact, as you met this woman on her way that morning, I dare say that she would have had to say to you, life for me has totally lost meaning. Nothing to it. It's all over. It's all over but the shouting. It's all over but the casket. It's all over but the funeral. It's all over. Through. Finished. Had it. Ma'am, would you mind if I'd ask another question? Well, if it's about as crazy as the other ones, go ahead. I don't mind. This morning, would you have any idea that you might meet a man that will change your life? A what? Not another man. Man, I've had six now. I don't need another one. What would your response have been to this question had you been this woman? I can think of all sorts of responses, but forget it. I mean, oh boy, I got enough troubles. No. You don't understand. I mean a person who can literally change your life from the inside out. Well, what do you mean? I mean that can literally make it an incredible joy just to go to the well and pick up water. You're kidding. I mean a person that can come into your life and literally put a dimension of life in the inside of you, the likes of which I am not adequate to explain.
a joy and a peace and a love that just won't quit. You're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. Do you realize that you're going to meet that person this morning?
Get lost. You're out of your tree. I don't believe it.
By the way, does it have anything to do with religion? No. Nothing religious about it at all. Oh. Well, it's just too good to be true. Now, you see, these are exactly the responses that people have given to me. You're out of your tree. And you know what's really strange? Good, solid, evangelical, Bible-believing Baptists have said to me, it isn't true. I don't believe it. You know why they said it's not true? Because it's not true in their lives.
They've been born again at the age of whatever the age they were. They came to know Christ. They joined the church. They were baptized. And they found their role in the church just like peas in the pod in the pew. And there they sit. They march in and march out like prison inmates. They sit down, and when the preacher says amen and say it quick, preacher, let's go.
And life absolutely has no meaning to them. They've been through the program with a capital P, a capital R, a capital O, and all the rest, and it simply hasn't worked in life.
And someone comes along and says, do you know, there's a man that can literally change your life from the inside out. Okay, what's your gimmick? What kind of new program are you going to start? What's it going to cost? There's money involved in it, I'm voting against it.
I've had people tell me this. They're not imaginary responses. It's true. It's happening.
And those same people, you ask them, going to go to heaven?
Oh, yes. How do you know? I'm a Baptist. I didn't ask you that. But I know the doctrine. I didn't ask you that.
You see, the possibilities of gathering all of the information, good, solid, doctrinal information, and yet not have it function, that's a possibility. I want you to know, I don't care who you are, what your relationship with Christ has been, either now or in the past or in the future. I want you to know that Jesus Christ came to do something in your life, the likes of which, if you started right now, you could not think of enough things that would begin to compare with that which He wants to do. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you're able to ask or even think. What's that saying? God has a mind to do something in your life, the likes of which, if you start thinking right now and think from the end, from now till you die, you can't think of enough things to even begin to compare with His plan. I used to sort of think, well, you know, I think I could think of that of enough things. You begin to think. Sometimes that's a bit of a strain, isn't it? Begin to think of all the things that you might like to do. But if you begin to think right now and think to the end of your life, you couldn't think of enough things to even begin to compare with that which God wants to do in your life.
And this dear, dear lady, as she made her way to the well that morning, had no idea when she left the house that she was going to have a personal confrontation with Jesus Christ that day. Hadn't any idea. But you find a marvelous principle in the Word of God. That Jesus Christ was always at the right place, at the right time, saying the right thing to the right person, and He always got the right results. And there He met the woman at the well. And do you know what? Don't misunderstand now. Jesus didn't even have a Four Laws booklet with Him. How in the world is He going to witness without that? He hadn't even been through the class. Now don't misunderstand. As I say, I think there's a need for these things. But unfortunately, we have
deified, I'm afraid, techniques and programs and literature to the point that we're more dependent upon the techniques and the programs and the literature than we are in the simple, simple trust in what it is to simply trust the Lord Jesus. We simply don't know how to trust Jesus, so therefore we take our little leaflets and we pass them out. I'm all for the leaflets. Don't misunderstand. So I say, don't misunderstand. But in our day and age, if we were going to know that we were going to meet a woman at the well who'd been married six times, we would develop a tract, especially for Samaritan women who'd been married six times. We would have a specialized tract ministry for Samaritan divorcees that would especially attract Samaritan women married six times. Because obviously we know how to do it. Jesus didn't. He was so unspiritual, he said, give me a drink of water. What kind of a witness was that? I mean, you've got to be kidding. You've got to be more spiritual than that. At least he could have said, what church do you go to? No, he just took the simple approach. He said, would you mind giving me a drink of water? And that literally threw her. Because he knew and she knew. She didn't know that he knew. That he knew. But he knew. That Jews were to have no dealings with Samaritan women. And it threw her. He crossed the lines of tradition because he loved her. Give me a drink. She said, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. How is it? You know, I'm afraid that the average non-Christian would die of shock if the average Christian would simply put a smile on his face when he saw Mr. Average Non-Christian. Because Christians are not supposed to smile, if you didn't know that. It's supposed to be serious. Crossed over tradition. How is it? Jesus answered in a very simple way, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Two things, the gift and the giver. If you knew the gift and if you knew the giver. The gift, fantastic. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If thou knewest the gift, thou would ask of him and he would have given thee living, the giver, the living Christ. The man who gives you the gift, the giver himself, actually come and he will reside in your life. And he comes upon reception. He comes upon an individual's receiving. She didn't have a clue what he was talking about. And you go into the story and you'll find that that's true. She didn't have a clue as to what he was talking about. But a little later on in that story, you'll find that in essence, by her actions, she simply said, I don't really understand what you're talking about, but one thing I want to tell you, I'm interested, I want to know. I want to know something about that. Notice what he said a little further. He said, sir, she said to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself, his children and his cattle? And Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be, where? In him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. She didn't have a clue what that meant. I'll be in you a well of water springing up into life. What did that mean to her? Nothing. But you see, he began to speak to her about a dimension of life that was completely and totally beyond her wildest dream. Totally beyond her comprehension. It was another dimension of living, if you please. And she simply said to him, I don't really understand what it's all about, but I want you to know something. Give it to me. Give me this water! And you read that passage, you'll discover that she left her water pots. That was a mistake in that day. Very, very important those were to them.
She left her water pots and went back into town and said, strangely enough, this is weird in my estimation. She left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men. Gives you a little insight to this person. Come see a man which told me all things which I did. Is not this the Christ? She hadn't been to class yet. She didn't have any literature. She didn't have any leaflets. How could she witness? Now, nothing wrong with the leaflets. Don't misunderstand again. But you see what happens when a person has a personal dynamic confrontation with Jesus Christ? You see what happens? And dear heart, the possibility of going through all the classes and all the classes and all the classes and still remain an intellectual idiot as far as a personal rapport with Christ. I'm absolutely convinced as we come into a personal rapport with Jesus Christ, you can't help but keep going. You can't help but share Christ with. It's, you can't help it. Now, my question would be simply this morning, and it's twofold. Have you ever had a personal confrontation with Christ like that? Have you ever come to Jesus and simply said, Lord, I don't really know what it's all about, but I want it. I want you. I want you to live in me. I want you to be my Savior. I want you now. Has that ever happened? Now, keep in mind that Jesus Christ did not die on a cross to make people religious. Boy, I'm so glad about that. I meet a lot of religious people. That's not what it's all about. He came to introduce you to a life of such dynamic dimension that it is impossible to define it to you. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever simply said, Jesus Christ, I want you to come into my life right now? If so, what's happened since then? What's he say? I will be in you a well of water, not period, springing up. Does that define your life? Or perhaps, does the stagnant, sterile pool water describe your life? All dried up. I'm afraid it defines the average Christian across America. I'm afraid so. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not suggesting for a moment that when we have an encounter like this with Jesus Christ, that all of a sudden we act and behave like we've been vaccinated with a phonograph needle. Not suggesting that at all. That we leave this place and everybody, everywhere we go, we just buttonhole them and knock them and, you know, just... No, that's not it. That's not it. But I guarantee you, this is what's going to happen. Jesus Christ will begin to be so real with you on the inside, He will begin to change your attitudes to such a tremendous degree that all of a sudden you will find a love emanating out of you to your mother and dad. No way. All of a sudden emanating out of you as a parent, there will be a love literally radiating out through you to your children. Not until he gets his hair cut. No cutty, no lovey. Simple as that. Cut it and I'll love you. Don't cut it and I won't. How ridiculous. The Lord didn't come to the woman with the well. You've been married 6 times, haven't you? Yeah, how'd you know? I know. You get your life straightened out and come back and I'll talk to you. That's what he said. He said, give me a drink of water. I'll be in you with something that you won't even be able to understand. What a thrilling thing to be that vehicle in which Christ lives and be that vehicle through which the love of Christ radiates, emanating out of our lives to people who don't know Christ. And there's a certain incredible contagion about it all. You ever been near someone with a contagious disease? You just got the flu? Yeah, not long, somebody says. Not long. That's good. Not long. You ever been near someone with a contagious love? Not many. Now, I don't mean by this contagious love where people just slopping all over one another. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about an inner, inward love, and it is literally indefinable, that only Christ can put in your life, that only Christ can produce. And what a thrilling thing just to step back and say, Lord, I don't really understand it all, but I'm ready. I want it. Would you be willing to say that?
Or have you been a grouchy Baptist all your life and you're going to die a grouchy Baptist? I've met lots of them. I was born a Baptist. Brother, I was born. I had a Baptist tag on me when I was born. I mean, that's right. That's just no two ways about it. And I know lots of them. Born grouchy and they're going to die grouchy.
Well, they did. As soon as they were born, they started crying. Doctors induce it. They spank them where they're supposed to be spanked, and they start crying. They're grouchy. That's all it's done. Born that way, going to die that way. On my way to heaven.
You want to become a happy Christian like me? Just come join our church.
And then person, the unchurched, the non-Christian looks at it and says, oh boy, if that's Christianity, thank God I'm not saved yet. And this dear woman recognized that she had an encounter with the living Christ, and she said, I don't understand it, but give it to me. And dear heart, if you want to live like a pig, you can live like a pig the rest of your life. But if you want to live like kings and queens, that's available. In the midst of some incredible situations, and in the midst of some fantastic problems, but Christ is living within you for the particular purpose of imparting a peace to you that won't quit. That won't quit under pressure. A joy that won't quit under problems. A life that simply won't quit under the situations that develop. Just won't quit. Do you know anything about that? I'll tell you what. If you do, it's contagious. And if you don't, that's contagious too. Yes, it is. My challenge to you this morning is to respond. Not to me, but to the Jesus who met this woman at the well, who this morning now we have met him here in this room. And you have a choice to make. Either to respond to him or to react and go out as you've come. Or to respond and go out never to be the same. Maybe not understanding it all, and I certainly don't understand it all. But I know this. When a few years ago I simply said, God, I don't understand it, but I want to know. I want you to teach me. I want you to show me how you can really work in my life. God began to show me. And he's got a lot to show me yet, and I've got a lot to learn. No two ways about it. But I challenge you to commitment and to response this morning. Shall we just pray? Our God, we thank you again this morning that Jesus Christ is alive. He lives. Thank you very much. Lord, as we looked at this woman this morning, we can identify with her. We can identify with her misery and her frustration and her sense of feeling that life had passed her by. Lord, we thank you that you were interested to the point of going to her, revealing to her the realities of yourself. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. Because, Father, as we identify with this woman, we have come to a point feeling that it's all over. It's passed us by. We've sinned too much. Lord, we thank you that it isn't over. That today, this morning, is a new beginning. It's a day of beginning, a day of life. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you remain constant. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all you're looking for is a response from us. While we're quiet for a moment, our heads are bowed. May I challenge you right now to grapple with this issue? between you and God right now, if there's never been a time that you can remember in your life when you said simply, Jesus Christ, I want you right now to come and live in me as my Savior. May I challenge you right now to pray that prayer? Not out loud. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand or come forward. But would you pray with me right now? Just between you and God, a sentence prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I've proved it by the way I live. But I see this morning, Lord Jesus, that you're the Savior. And right now, I receive you into my life as my Savior. Thank you for coming in. Dear Christian friend, you have already received the Lord Jesus in days gone by. Could it possibly be that your Christian life has just been literally shriveling up, drying on the vine? May I challenge you this morning to rediscover what Jesus said, I will be in you a well of water springing up into life. Would you pray with me this morning a prayer of just saying, Lord, I want to know what it's all about. Would you pray with me that kind of prayer? Lord Jesus, I admit my sin. I'm prepared to confess it. And Lord, I don't really understand what it's all about. But Lord, I tell you this morning, I want to know. I want to know. I'm tired of problems with my husband and my wife and my children. I'm just tired. But I want to know something of this new life in Christ. And I thank you for what you're going to be in me. Thank you very much. And our God, to this end, we commit this hour with thanks and praise in advance for the eternal repercussions that will come as a result of our time together this morning. Most of all, our Father, we thank you for the living, risen Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.